a task that we have to participate in when a little later in the service when we get to the offering. Our grade 6, 7, and 8 group of Sunday school students, their Sunday school module for today is called Lost and Found. And it's based upon a parable. And what Pam is doing is setting up something for us there. It's based on a parable in Luke chapter 15. And the parable goes like this. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds that one coin. And when she's found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So their Sunday school lesson is called Lost and Found. And what they are going to be doing is looking for the lost coin, which is right here in the sanctuary, which Pam, I think, just put out on the table there. And the way they're going to find that is that there are the 9 other coins hidden in other places in the church. And on those coins are written clues that will eventually lead them here to the sanctuary to find the lost coin. And they are hopefully going to be getting to that point by about the time we get to the offering. So they don't know that we know that they're going to be trying to sneak in here during the offering to get their coin. But we do know that they're going to be sneaking in here. And what their Sunday school teacher has asked is, if they make it this far, he would like the congregation to rejoice with them over the lost coin which is found. So when you see those kids sneaking in here to the sanctuary, applause and cheering or anything that won't offend Presbyterian sensibility would be greatly appreciated and hopefully make the lesson a little more real to them. So remember your task. I love to go for walks along the waterfront to Port Credit and Oakville and Toronto. I love having the Lake Ontario on the one side and then the city on the other side. It's kind of, in my mind, the best of both worlds. Only over the past few years, and it's been getting worser and worser, as they say, you have to watch where you put your feet. Because, as we all know, there is a bit of an infestation of geese. Have you ever come across a rather feisty goose? One that doesn't want to give ground when you approach? And they lower their bodies down and stick their neck out and then they go some unearthly noise that they make. I was watching this video. It was this guy and his dog, and they're in their boat, and they're out fishing. And they encroach upon the territory of a mother goose. Well, this mother goose just goes berserk on this guy and this dog in the boat. And the goose keeps flying in the boat at them, and the guy is pushing the goose out, and it just comes back at them again, and the dog is running from one end of the boat, from the front of the boat to the back of the boat, trying to escape this goose and cowering in the bottom of the boat. And finally, the fellow, he gets the boat going, and they're taking off across the water, and you see in the back that this goose is flying after them as the boat goes across the water, just to make sure that they never, ever come back into the territory of that mother goose again. I mean, is there anything more humiliated than being scared away by a mother goose? But, of course, we know that they weren't up just up against a goose. They were up against a universal truth that when it comes to her children, a mother is not messing around. And if she feels you're a threat to her babies, you are in trouble. My daughter, Lori, lived in Uganda and Sierra Leone for about a year and a half. And I remember her telling me about stories of her time in Uganda. And she lived with a family in a small village in Uganda for several weeks at one point during her travels. And she told me that the women in this village would get up early every morning, and they would get, you know, those 5-gallon jugs that we use for gasoline, that they would have those for water. And that each woman would take 3 of these 5-gallon jugs, walk a couple of miles, fill them with fresh water, and then walk back the same distance, one in each hand and one on the top of her head. I have no idea how you hold one of these jugs on the top of your head, but apparently it must be something you can learn how to do. So what we're talking, do you know one of those jugs filled with water weighs almost 50 pounds? We're talking, they are walking with 150 pounds of water. And they do it every day, day after day after day after day. And do you know why they do it? So that their children can have clean water to drink. This is the maternal instinct. It transcends time. It transcends culture. It transcends economics. There is this ancient mothering impulse. And what I want to suggest to you today is that this is also a divine impulse. In Scripture, we're told over and over again that God is compassionate. And I want to tell you an interesting fact, that the word for compassion in the ancient Hebrew language is a word called roham. That is also the word in the ancient Hebrew language for womb. So God is compassionate. God is womb-like. And this is a feminine image for God. And a lot of us are very comfortable with male imagery for God. We're comfortable with God as Father. We're comfortable with God as Judge, with God as Lawgiver, with God as the Warrior. But a lot of us are not so comfortable with feminine images for God. There's this great line in the Old Testament book of Job. God is pointing out to Job the complexity of creation and essentially saying to Job, do you have any idea who made all of this? And God says to Job, God says, from whose womb came the ice? He says, who gave birth to the frost from the heavens? And God's answer is God. God's womb? God gave birth? I mean, it's poetry here. It's not to be taken literally. But this is feminine imagery for God. And this can be helpful in describing the divine and helping us understand who God is. Now, of course, God, as Jesus said, is God is spirit. God has no shape, God has no form, God has no physical essence. What I think is this, is God is beyond gender. Perhaps we can more accurately say God transcends, but includes what we know as male and female. And that's what we read about in the book of Genesis, the part that John read to us from Genesis. God says in that, or this passage says, that we were created in the image of God. It says male and female, we were created in the image of God. In other words, men are created in the image of God, and women are created in the image of God. And then in the early Christian church, women are recognized and valued. They were there at the resurrection. They were leaders and organizers and decision makers. And then we read today in the gospel that it was the women who were traveling with Jesus who used their financial resources to support his ministry. And that famous passage from the letter to the Galatians, where the Apostle Paul says, in Christ, in this new reality of Christ, there is neither male nor female. And this is up for debate, but there are some scholars who say that this is the first time in human history where somebody argued for the equality of the sexes. If you don't have her leadership, if you don't have her wisdom, her voice, her perspective, you're not just missing her, you're missing something central to the very core of God. Now, as we all know, it's not just Prince William anymore, is it? It's the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. And I trust that Kate's wisdom and Kate's insight and Kate's intelligence partnering with William will make him a better leader than he ever could have been without her at his side. So if you're a woman and you've ever been made to feel second class, whether that was at work or at home or in the church, maybe you've been taught blatantly or you've just picked it up that it's nice that you gals are around, but the men are doing the real work around here. If that has ever been communicated to you, I apologize. That is just not right. Now, of course, sometimes we get confused between equality and difference, as if we're the same, but of course we're not the same. Each has our own uniqueness that we were made to live out. Like when Rebecca this morning brought up and gave a blessing to the mothers and then a blessing to the fathers as well. We don't need to run away from our differences. We can embrace them. Some women are mothers, some aren't. Some run companies, some stay at home, some live out very traditional roles, others break all sorts of new grounds. And it's all a reflection of the creativity of the diversity, of the variety of the God who's bigger than any mere human language can encompass. So I want to just leave you with this thought. The prophet Isaiah was talking to the Jewish people. They're in exile. They're miles from home. They've been crushed and broken and destroyed. They're wondering if they will live to see tomorrow. And Isaiah says to him, speaks to those people, and this is what he says. He says, the Lord says, as a mother comforts a child, so will I comfort you. Years ago, my brother had encephalitis. It's a infection, a swelling of the brain. It's carried by some mosquitoes. He was in the hospital. It was touch and go at times. And I would go and visit him. And every time I went to visit him, my mother would be there. She was beside his bed. She was on top of every detail of his recovery. And when Isaiah is speaking to the people of Israel in exile, in trouble, touch and go, he says, don't give up hope. He says about God, have you ever seen how a mother comforts a child? Well, that's what God is like. That is what God will do for you. None of us had anything to do with our birth. We receive without giving anything. We were totally helpless. And some woman somewhere, your mother, brought you into this world. Her labor, her work, her pain for your life. When you see a mother doing her mothering thing, when a mother's heart breaks for her children, she's tapping into the very nature of what God is and what God is like. And that is a gift. That is grace. That is divine. May we in the storms of life
be comforted by God as a mother comforts a child. Let us pray. And now to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be all praise, honor, and glory, world without end. Amen.